And I'm so delighted to introduce you to Sister Jenna. Aloha, Sister Jenna.
Hello.
Aloha. So Sister Jenna joins us all the way from Washington, D.C., where she is actively promoting peace, and especially the peace that comes from within, and of course that comes from the source.
My favorite companion.
Yes, the source. So maybe for people who are not familiar with the Brahma Kumari, maybe you could do like a brief introduction?
Sure, Tracy. And it's really, really nice to see you.
It's so wonderful to see you. I'm so happy you're here.
It was nice having you and seeing you last night, too. You know, many times I'm asked about the Brahma Kumaris and what it really is, and I try my best to not put it in a category like an organization or a religion. Because in reality, it's just a community of people who deeply are committed to personal transformation, where there's a deep, deep quest or need to get rid of all the negativities in the soul. And the basic tenet is, when I change, the world will change. But at this time, there are about 8,500 or 9,000 centers in 120 countries around the globe. And just an amazing movement of young men and women of all ages and background and cultural ideas who are just coming together with the aim to change civilization.
I know last year when you were here, you had left the seed of innocence and purity here on Kauai. And this last night when you shared with us at the reception, you said this time you've come to share the seeds of compassion.
Yeah.
Of course, there were so many ideas and thoughts that you shared with us last night. And, of course, there's maybe 40 people, so there's a lot of people listening that didn't get the value of that conversation. So a couple of the key things that really touched me and I would love for you to share is about upset. So many of us throughout our day find ourselves upset. And I loved the definition you gave for that. And also how, for me, when you talked about the divinity and how upset takes us away from our divinity. Mm-hmm. And how really simple it is to just kind of tune in and say, am I going to choose to be in my divinity?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to choose to stay upseated from my mm-hmm. divinity? So, I mean, I kind of said, but could you share a little bit about that?
Well, I remembered I asked the audience to make a promise that you won't get upset after last night. And we were describing the difference between, you know, anger and all these things. And a form of irritation is also coming from the trace of anger. But to be upset is to get up from your seat of soul awareness, soul consciousness, from your divinity and from your goodness. And every time you do that, it has a consequence. And further down the road, you find that you're no longer believing in your goodness because you keep getting upset. And actually, nobody is to blame for not doing what you want when you want and you get upset. It's you who decide to break that. You decide to get upset. And what we spoke about last night is that we need to make this promise to not do that anymore. And there is another thing that came up about forgiving or forgetting, or sometimes we hold on to these hurt feelings or these negative emotions. And you've heard a million people tell you, or a million books that tell you, just let go. And everybody says, but that's the hardest thing to do. And I think what was shared last night by me was let go means to just stop thinking about it. That's it. And these are some basic, simple tools for us to understand about the soul and who we are, and that there is goodness and that our original nature is divinity. But if we're not clear about the thoughts that we're having or the words that we're speaking and the actions that we're performing, that if it's not supporting divinity, then it's taking away my goodness, and eventually I'm going to lose my spark. And so there is a knowledge that's needed for me to understand the soul at a deeper level. And last night we touched on that. And so my tour was Seed of Compassion, that let it be that everyone who comes in front of me, I feel that they're God's property, or they're worth $1 trillion and that their heart is originally pure. And to have that feeling as you look at that soul.
Mm-hmm. And also maybe you could touch a little bit on the idea of self-sovereignty, which you spoke about last night, but for those who weren't there, because, I mean, that was something that is really easy to relate to, and well, especially here on Kauai when there is a whole sovereignty movement, you know, so it's a word that gets used frequently. But self-sovereignty, could you touch on that?
A self-sovereign is a soul who has gained control within themselves and is able to have the thoughts and speak the words and perform the actions that they know they should be doing. One who lacks self-sovereign is sometimes overtaken by past emotions or past experiences in the soul that are stronger than their current self-mastery. But when you're a self-sovereign, which is built over a period of time, where you've been practicing to sustain your thinking at a higher level, you've been using the words that are more elevated, and your actions are very charitable. Just by your vibration, your presence, your way of being is charitable. But when you've been practicing that over a long period of time, you eventually gain the confidence and you go back to the true self-rulership that every human soul was born with originally. Mm. Originally. Mm-hmm. So when you're a self-sovereign, you are a master of your thoughts. You will think what you want to think. You will speak what you really want to speak, and you will do what you really want to do. You will not be deceived, and you will not get influenced, and you definitely won't get upset.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is all good. Start implementing that. And actually, if you'd like an opportunity to meet Sister Jenna, unfortunately, she's here for a very brief time, but you can actually meet her this afternoon. Maybe we could talk a little bit about Kites for Peace, because this afternoon at 4 p.m. down at Kalia Beach by the river mouth, there are going to be a group of people, hopefully quite a group, of flying kites. And it's a program or project called Kites for Peace. And I'm going to invite Sister Jenna to talk a little bit about that, Kites for Peace.
Yeah, thanks, Therese. It started about in May or April of this year, where we generally do an initiative in D.C. to raise consciousness in Washington, D.C., which is a big thing there. And every 10th of June, we do a program for the community to honor a day called Dadi Prakashmani Day, a day for peace, which is in support of the Brahma Kumaris and its movement. So this year we came up with the thought that why don't we buy hundreds or thousands of kites and go into various communities and have the children and the families come together and put paintings and write good wishes and blessings on these kites. And we would fly these kites on the 10th of June, which would symbolize this feeling of care and freedom and innocence. And after we flew those kites on the 10th of June, we worked with a few organizations and private people to ship those kites to children in war. And so we've taken the kites to Iraq, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Niger, Ivory Coast is getting involved. Some places in, you know, other countries that are coming forward. And it's just teaches adults and children. It brings them together as family. One, you purchase the kite. It's about $5. Two, then you put your feelings in that kite, knowing that there's a child who's less privileged than you. And then you together and with the people together, you fly it and you enjoy it. And then you let it go. You give it away. This is your charity. And it passes itself on, you know. And can I read the spiritual meaning?
Please, of course.
Behind flying a kite.
Yes.
So every time you pick up a kite, this is what we feel. Well, the kite flyer is the human being. And the string is a powerful thought that's filled with love. And the kite is the divine. It's the supreme. So each time we fly a kite, we feel liberated, happy, and at peace. And we look towards the sky. And then the soul inside feels a sense of boundlessness. It feels unlimited and pure. It feels like a soul flying freely. So flying a kite is a spiritual experience that nurtures and uplifts the innocence and the light within every human soul. And so we kind of took it on a spiritual dimension to really capture the real deep feeling the soul can gain by performing such a simple act. And there are two quick stories.
Although I hate to interrupt you, but because it's the top of the hour, I must do the station ID for FCC. So you are listening to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Tracy bringing you Good Vibrations with Sister Jenna, my guest. And this KKCR program is supported in part by Qingyang Shopping Village and Island Soap and Candleworks.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Island Soap and Candleworks, located in Konglung Center, Kilauea, in Old Koloa Town, and in Princeville, welcomes visitors to their gift shops and factory where you can see soap and candles made. 828-1955 or islandsoap.com.
And mahalo to Qingyang Shopping Village and Island Soap and Candleworks for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And if you just tuned in, I have special guest Sister Jenna. She joins us all the way from Washington, D.C., where she is the director of the Brahma Kumaris there in Washington, D.C. She's an activist, spiritual mentor, writer, and lecturer. She's also a voice of hope for children caught in the never-ending cycle of human conflict throughout the world. And she's brought 100 kites here to Kauai. They've been decorated by various children across the island, and kites will be flown today at Kalia Beach near the river mouth at 4 o'clock. The public and community are invited, and there are some children that decorated the kites and put their blessings in that are not able to be there today, so there will be extra kites for flying that are going to need to be flown and felt that joy through that cord all the way to that soul in the kite. And so if you have some free time, 4 o'clock, Kalia Beach by the river mouth, that's in about 2 hours. And also you'll have an opportunity to meet Sister Jenna, right?
Yeah.
And Sister Jenna will be there, right?
Sure.
Yes. Were you planning to be there? I don't know.
I think so.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I love flying a kite.
Okay, good, good.
That's where I was going to share with you that story.
Yes.
We had a permit in the Washington Monument, which is the big mall between Lincoln and the Capitol. And we flew the kites by the monument, and we had closed down shop. And there is a parole officer who brought like 20 kids who had all been convicts already in prison and in jail, all under 18. And they'd never flown a kite before, and these were hard people. And then I kind of tried to talk to them, and they were a little bit resistant. Well, a lot resistant. And then I just said, well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to go fly a kite. Come on. And so one by one they came. And when they took those kites up, they became like little boys again. And the parole officer said it was the first time he's ever seen these kids smile like that from innocence. And then a lady that I worked with in March who spent millions of dollars for a conference for women to end poverty, she was there. I know it's a paradox. She was there, and I said, let's go fly a kite. And she says, I've never flown a kite before. I feel strange. This is for kids. I said, but you are a kid. Come on. So we went, and she could not put it down. She just said, it's Sister Jenna. This is what it's all about. Creating peace is as easy as this. I says, I've been trying to tell all of you in Washington this for 11 years. Because it's a spirit. It's your innocence. It's your purity. It's qualities in you which you're just not using. And if you can use it, this is how the world's going to change.
I mean, just to watch a kite soar.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a wonderful metaphor.
It is. And we got a lot of press from, Fox and the Washington Post, Washington Times. What I'm just saying is it's hard for them to even come out to do something like that. And it was a hot day of like over 90 degrees that day in D.C. But I guess what I'd like to share with the ones who are listening, I'd really like to call you to make that commitment today, where it's a simple act, but I can assure you the feelings that you'll attain from it, you can't buy it anywhere. It just touches your purity. It touches the basics. It touches your heart, and it just touches the soul. And the fact that these are going to be given to another child in Georgia, which is where we're going to be shipping these, where the Russian invasion just happened, it's just going to give them that little moment of spark that someone in Kauai or in the USA cares. And they could fly that for as long as they want to. So I'm just saying that I know it's simple, and I know it just seems like it might not be nothing much, quote unquote, but if I were to tell you the shifts that happen in the people who get involved, it's phenomenal. Even to them, they can't believe it.
I believe it. I do believe it.
I know you would, Tracy. I know you would.
Shifts can happen very quickly, and it's in a moment. I mean, everything really happens in a moment anyway.
Yeah.
Definitely. So if you just tuned in, I have special guest Sister Jenna. And if you can't make it to Kites for Peace today at 4 o'clock, you'll still have another opportunity to meet Sister Jenna tomorrow evening, which is Thursday. She's going to be sharing the stage. No, there won't be a stage. But there's going to be a dialogue with Howard Wills, who many on Kauai know. And that's going to be at 7:30 at Malama Kauai, which is in Kilauea. It was formerly the Guava Kai Plantation. It's at the end of Kuava Road. And that's going to be, once again, I said, at 7:30. So it'll be another opportunity to meet Sister Jenna. And I guess, were you leaving Friday?
I'm leaving on Friday.
Whoa, that was quick.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting, even just getting here. When I made the decision eventually to come, it just happened instantly and things were just falling into place. But I feel that this being my second time in the island, it's not that, you know, I feel that I have to come here to help. But I feel like there is an original innocence and an original wisdom, which is so simple, that if we give it a chance to touch the original strength of the soul, half of our work of keep running all over the place to find ourselves is finished. And basically, with some of the things that are shared by me, by my sister Jenna, it's so simple that it just breaks all the stuff that we go through to try to find it. And it keeps her out of business, because then you've got the method, so then you don't need her anymore. And so this is very important to me, because don't give me the fish, but teach me how, and then I can also pass that on and teach others. And so it's a spiritual truth, and it goes deep in the soul. And when it touches the core of the original self, the soul itself realizes it has the capacity to transform itself simply and purely on its own. It just needs one and one little two steps and methods, and that's it. And the rest is really up to the individual.
So seeds of compassion. I know that was your theme for this visit.
Yeah.
And maybe you could share why seeds of compassion, why you were inspired to come here with the hope of sharing and spreading seeds of compassion at this time.
Because I was spreading it in Washington and for myself. Mm. You know, being on a spiritual journey, there are a lot of expectations that you hold for yourself, and also the people in which you're instrumental for to keep inspired. They hold the highest expectations for you. And there are times that you go through internally challenges within the self. And in order for you to sometimes step over it, you can't be hard on yourself. It's a time to be compassionate with the self. Sometimes you've got shortcomings too. And to be angry or frustrated is not healthy if the soul needs to take another step. And so seeds of compassion started in Washington, and you're just the benefactors of it.
Oh, good.
And what it means is to really have really deep, powerful feelings for the self, knowing that you're not perfect, but your destination is towards a perfected mind, a liberated mind. And if you yourself are nurturing this within your being, then when I look at Tracy, or I look at you, or Elaine Valois, and everyone else who I've met here, the beautiful people that I've met, is that you're going to look at them from where you're at inside. And that gives hope to people when someone looks at you with that feeling. And that's just what I am processing at the moment, is to give myself seeds of compassion. And so that's what I came to Kauai with. And that's what I've been sharing. And that's where I've been talking yesterday about, you know, go to people who've got their acts together. You know, you will sense it. Make sure that you know that you're the one that's got to do the work on yourself anyhow. Stop going all over the place and confusing yourself about all these different ideas. Your original eternal self will let you know when it's the truth, when it's real, when it's good for you. And it just goes back to you, you know, listen to your true conscience, listen to your purity, listen to your peace, listen to the original love. And that's your compassion on yourself.
Another really wonderful analogy you made last night, which I'd invite you to share again, was that the soul is like a flawless diamond.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we walk around being able to identify all that's wrong quickly. But to just walk around with the awareness, I have no flaws. And to start to rebuild myself from that awareness is a profound seed of compassion that you can plant for yourself. And so this is where, when you're coming from this place inside of your own being, you know, initiatives like Kites for Peace comes from that pure place. It's without ego, it's without desire, it's without expectations. And if we start to go towards global solutions using simple techniques, it's that simple. You know, and so if I don't keep walking around with all the limitations and all the weaknesses that people tell me I have and that I see in myself, then if I just start to build myself again from the awareness, I don't have any flaws, and I begin to nurture that good sense of the self. Can you imagine what will come out of it?
Well, we'll definitely have a lot more peace and joy in the world, won't we?
Exactly.
Mm. And maybe, and that just makes me, oops, somebody's phone. I don't know what that is. maybe you could talk about the five. I don't think you use the word virtues. But
vices.
No, not well. Okay, we can start with the five vices, but I was thinking more of the virtues, the joy and love
peace
and peace and purity. And maybe there weren't five of them, but...
Every soul, over 6.7 billion human souls, originally have recorded inside of their conscious, subconscious, past life, or supreme self, love, purity, peace, truth, and joy. And when those are not being used through the living life, through the relationships with ourselves and with others and with the nature, it gives birth to the five negativities, what they call in Hinduism Ravan or Maya, or what I call the limitations in the soul or the dark areas of the soul: ego, anger, greed, attachment, and lust. That starts to take over the soul's thinking process. And whenever we come from that ego, anger, greed, lust, and attachment, the light in the soul gets diminished, and there's not an ability for the soul to have a direct link with the Supreme. But when you can come from that original place of the pure qualities, the virtues of the soul, you're putting back the original power, the original light, the original strength. And it's just an awareness. It's an awareness. It's an awareness. And then you have to put it in action. Ego and anger is damaging the world so much. And they live in the soul. And they've got to get out. But how? Through silence. through yoga with the Supreme Power. And I can do a meditation now, which will actually give everyone an experience of the soul conscious stage.
Please do. Yes, of course.
Very simply. But if you're driving, you should be very careful. And so just if you want to experience the original self, the original soul, practice every 2 hours for 2-3 minutes every day, forgetting your name, forgetting your gender, forgetting the roles, the titles, the religion, and even to forget your own body. And if you think about it, if you choose to just put aside your name, your gender, your roles, your titles, and your body, who would you remember? And who would remember you? How would you feel? And usually what happens is that you start to feel the self. It's liberated and it's free. And then you can feel the pull of God sending all the rays and all the powers in the soul. And when the soul has power, as it plays its part through the body, the religion, the title, the roles, the gender, and the name, it will bring those original qualities into action. And when we keep performing actions based on that awareness, the world will change. It is not a complex agenda or wisdom. It is a simple wisdom. So if everyone practiced that every day, I guarantee my many lives, and this one, which is my most important, that you will become an instrument to change humanity's awareness. If everyone practiced that simple technique. See, with your name comes a lot of issues. You think from your gender, I'm a man, I'm a woman. You sometimes, all your thinking is just based on your role, a mother, a husband, a wife, or this or that. The title, I am so-and-so, you know, my religion is such, so I won't let you in. My body is like that. And then if you really observe what's happening in your internal world, you're living very small, but you are so great. And a lot of our internal satisfaction comes because we're not aware that that's what we're doing. But we have these huge wishes on our lives. And so this practice of forgetting the name, the gender, the role, the title, the body, makes the soul starts to feel its original self. And it gives power to you. And then you can bring power to others. It's that simple. It's ABC. That simple.
Even as you were going through that, just letting go of all those identities and labels, I was thinking, oh, I feel liberated. And he said, you'll feel liberated.
Exactly, because that's what it does. Mm-hmm. The soul was actually born a free spirit. And now, because it's carried a lot of memories in it and a lot of stuff, it does physical things and sometimes not the right things for the sake of saying, I'm free. But you find a lot of people who don't have discipline might be physically free, but emotionally not very clear, not doing so well inside. So it's okay to have a little discipline, because that's where your true freedom emerges. Mm. Physical discipline.
Right. Like yeah. You get up every morning and you have discipline.
I love it. I get up every morning at 3 or 3:30 and I sit and I have remembrance of that Supreme Being and I give him my agenda and I talk about what I'm planning to do and I get signals and feelings. But because we have a guideline within our path of study, I know if I'm going too off, it's not right. If I'm going too low, it's not right. It's a pretty balanced life. Mm. And then I have a regular study every morning at 6, and then vegetarian diet, and try not to get upset. I get irritated, but not upset. And, you know, I really want my life to be a life that feels comfortable for me inside. I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm not thinking waste or negative about you. I don't want something from you in order to get my life ahead. And then I sacrifice your own happiness in the midst of doing that. I just want to be a good human being. And I don't want to be good that sometimes my goodness becomes weak because I still have limits and my goodness doesn't have power. So even though my goodness is based on my qualities as a soul, I need a very deep private relationship with the supreme power, the supreme soul, the father of all souls. And so this connection and relationship is vital for all of us. I never last heard God saying that he was Jewish or Christian or Hindu, but I sense that he's an energy that's even beyond those limits, and he's the supreme ocean of love and purity and wisdom. And all he says is just quiet your mind. Let go of everything that you've learned and you've been taught by human beings. Turn your mind and your intellect to me. I'm beyond this world. Become still, and I will make you feel love like a thousand mothers.
Thank you. If you just tuned in, I've had Sister Jenna here with me, and she is the director of the Brahma Kumaris in Washington, D.C. Perhaps you could give out the website.
Sure.
So if you want more information.
Sure. I mean, last time I was here, we've kept in touch with a few friends, but I'd love to keep in touch with others who are intrigued about the spiritual development of our journey of the Brahma Kumaris. The international website is bkwsu.org. That's bkwsu.org. And our local website in D.C. is BKWDC, Brahma Kumaris, Washington, D.C. .com. So it's BKWDC.com. And you can contact me anytime that you need, on email or on phone, doesn't matter.
And so also, if you'd like to meet Sister Jenna, Kites for Peace will be flying today at Kalia Beach in Kapa'a by the river mouth at 4 p.m. The community is invited. There will be extra kites to fly, and because there are some children who decorated the kites and put their blessings into them who cannot be there this afternoon, so there will be available kites. And also, of course, you could just come and bring your good wishes and blessings for those kites that will be sent to children of Georgia, where Russia has invaded, and they're unfortunately living with war right now. Kites for Peace. Is there an actual website for Kites for Peace?
It's on the bkwdc.com site.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then another opportunity to meet Sister Jenna, if you can't make it today at 4 o'clock, is tomorrow evening at 7:30 at Malama Kauai, which is in Kilauea. It is the old Guava Kai Plantation, so it's at the end of Kuava Road. And that's going to be, once again, at 7:30 tomorrow evening, an evening with Sister Jenna and Howard Wills, open dialogue. And I'm going to definitely be there tomorrow. I enjoyed spending this time with you. I know, as I'm looking at the clock going, oh, it's getting close to 2:30. I know you have things to do and then be at Kapa'a, the Kalia Beach at 4. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being here and for being you and for blessing Kauai with seeds of compassion.
Thanks, Trace. Just if I can, one closing remark is just that I just think that our human life is so valuable. And if we can just put a little bit more sincerity in it and truth in it and divinity in it, we'll actually experience what it really means to live. And I think that if each one of us steps up to the plate to be that one person who could actually change the world, and if I am an instrument to inspire one person on the island, I don't know how many are listening, but if just one person finds the courage and the inspiration to keep initiating a life of divinity and truth, you'll be an example for millions. So I wish everyone who's listening well, and the ultimate best thoughts that you could nurture for yourself. And please take time to just sit inside of your own skin and know that whatever you're searching for is right there. And practice just forgetting the limitations and go into silence and become who you're supposed to be, divine and elevated.
Flawless,
one who doesn't get upset. All right, Om Shanti, and thank you so much. And I really hope that you come out today for the kites and also for Howard and myself's program tomorrow. No matter what, both will be of a unique experience.
And I can vouch for that. I was at every one of the sharings that Sister Jenna participated in last year when she was here. I went all the way to Hanapepe just to be in her presence and share her light. So I'm looking forward to the kites today. I'm going to be dashing out of here at 3 and heading down to Kalia Beach by the river mouth for Kites for Peace. And then tomorrow evening at Malama Kauai in Kilauea, Sister Jenna will be sharing a dialogue with Howard Wills, and of course those of us who attend. That's at 7:30. Once again, Malama Kauai in Kilauea, the old Guava Kai plantation. It's at the end of Kuava Road. And thank you so much, Sister Jenna, and thank you, Elaine, for always being the wonderful light that you are. And happy birthday to Elaine. And we're going to hear some more music from this beautiful Bliss, 100,000 Angels.
That's a good one to play.
Oh, 100,000 Angels?
Yes, okay, you can get that on the website if you want.
Okay, there we go. 100,000 Angels from Bliss, from the Brahma Kumaris. You can purchase this on their website. Thank you so much, Sister Jenna.
Thank you.
Elaine.